The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 29th of July, 2020. Isn't this year just flying by? Are we having fun yet? Well, on today's program, on the first hour, got this guy over in the UK. His name is Mark Windows, Windows on the World. If you've not seen his website, it's windowsontheworld.net. And he is presently on the network Monday through Friday. But today's Wednesday, he's only going to be doing that for another 2 days. And then after that, he will be moving to 2 p.m. Central Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, having said that, the guy is crunched for time. I didn't realize. He's in the middle of making a movie. He's trying desperately to finish up a book. He's doing radio programming over in the UK. And then he was also doing us. And he was a little overextended. But he likes the network, and he likes the audience, and he wants to stick around. And for the time being, he's only going to be doing 2 days a week, but sandwiched in between probably one of the most honest journalists this network's ever had on, Mark Anderson. Not a bad place to be. Hello, Mark Windows. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm fine. All good here.
Did I screw anything up?
Not at all. You're very sort of laid back with your approach. I think it's great, you know, because I have this sort of urgency to get information out. And I kind of like the way that you sit back on it. And, of course, in the UK, it's 11 o'clock at night now. So it's a nice time to sort of wind down slightly.
Well, nighttime is my favorite time. It has been that way since I was a kid. Unfortunately, Mama told me I had to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And you can imagine the ongoing nightly fights that I would have with Mom. But as I grew to be an adult, I like the night because it's quiet.
I've always been the same, John. Always been the same.
Now, isn't...
I was very nocturnal from an early age. I think it might be something to do, rather, with when you were born. I was born after 11 o'clock at night.
I
usually come alive around this time.
I was born at 10:30. Yeah, I was born at 10:30. And the problem I have, you know, if I go to bed, Mark, before 1 in the morning, say if I fall asleep at 12 or 1 in the morning, I am up when the cows are ready to be milked. You know, my eyes are wide open at 5:30 in the morning. And it's like, wait a minute, I've got an entire day I've got to go through. I got to go back to sleep. Well, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I get distracted by the world's goings on and I'm posting stories. And, well, by the time showtime rolls around, I'm like a damn Gumby. I'm green and bendable.
Yeah, well, this is it, overdoing it. I was up very early this morning, actually. I was doing some filming for this film, The Heretics of London, The Smithfield Martyrs. And we had to sort of film some inserts, and one of them was this girl being put on the rack. Obviously, we don't actually put her on the rack, but she was acting as though she was being pulled apart on the rack. So That was before 9 a.m. this morning, John, so it's been a long day, yeah.
Well, I just want to know one thing, because I took a peek at your website and I looked at the promos for the movie. How did you get the guy to wear the turquoise tights? I want to know how you did that.
Well, actually, he's a professional minstrel, and he's a musician. So that was really funny. It was filmed, actually, at the end of last year in Glastonbury. And the girl who plays Anne Askew, who's burnt at the stake in 1546, actually dresses in 16th century dresses all the time. And in this particular town, people do like dressing up. So we knew that this fellow had a band, and he played regularly, and he was a bit of an aficionado on 16th century music. He had a lute, and he also had the tights and the costume. So we had our minstrel already. And that's a great thing, because it means that we don't have to go out hiring costumes, you see.
Well, cheaper always works for me.
Well, yeah, we're trying to make something look like $1 million with nothing, and I think it's working quite well at the moment. Yeah, it's the time, really, John. I mean, you can make things look really good because of the technology that's available now, if you know what you're doing. And I love making these films where you film on the hoof, and you think, do you think we'll get away with it? If you know what you're doing, you usually do.
Well, it's always been my experience that if I plan too carefully or too far in advance, that gives time for everything to go to hell in a handbasket. So most of the most successful things that I've done is on spur of the moment.
Yeah, I've always been like that, John, because I spent about 25 years on the road as a singer with rock and roll bands, and the whole life was led like that, really. You know, you'd be off to a gig, and there's so many variables that you can't start panicking about things. You have to just go, let's see what happens. And there's a great moment when you just work with people and you're just about to go on stage and you get that little bit of nerve, that little bit of adrenaline, and then you all kind of click in. So I've always kind of worked like that. So I'm very spontaneous, and too spontaneous for some people. But we managed to film this. The funny thing about that scene I was talking about with the minstrel and the girl singing is that a woman actually was walking her dog and came into the shot with the dog, and the dog was drinking out of the pond, and she sat there in the shot, but she actually did it deliberately to get attention. That's the sort of place that we're in at the moment, John. I mean, politely you could call them eccentrics, but yeah, you'd probably call them a pain in the ass, you know?
Well, I don't know, we were talking earlier, and you were talking about being nimble, foot in midair before the other one hits full footfall, you can change directions, and there's a certain fluidity and kind of a relaxed state of mind about that. And I told you, and I later let this audience know that I had my own little mini meltdown after doing this for 30 years. And people were always questioning me, well, how the hell could you do that for 30 years? That drive me crazy. Well, I'm not quite entirely sure that I haven't gone over the high side, but I've been doing it for a very long time. But what did it for me is dealing with week after week, month after month, with this contrived crap that they're throwing at us through the media. And dutifully, me sitting here going through the crap that's thrown our way and then dissecting it and sticking it right back in their face, doing this day after day, week after week, month after month, I just had a little mini meltdown. Well, luckily, my friend Mark, I was able to be pulled out of the embers, the burning embers, stood up, brushed off, and my mini meltdown ended within 24, 48-hour period. But
that's probably because you're adaptable, John. I mean, I think a lot of this is down to life experience, you know. I mean, people who've led very sheltered lives, they are not equipped to deal with even the slightest thing going wrong. Yeah. And I've always found that really strange, because I'm used to disasters happening and having to react accordingly. And my life's been very dramatic and up and down, probably like yours has, you know. And I think you find that you become more resilient, and things that bother a lot of people just don't bother me at all. I think this COVID thing is a kind of good reference point for that, because nothing like this has ever happened, but I'm kind of reacting to it in the moment and accordingly. And I think that's from the years of training of basically avoiding a 9-to-5 job and kind of being very fluid in my approach to employment, shall we say, and doing what I wanted. Well, so I think that that's a, yeah, it's a good point, I think.
Well, for me, it was liberating because I felt this building for a long time. And I crashed and burned. It's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get up. Whether you do it once or 50 times, that 51st time you go down and you don't get up, well, you're down. But it was liberating for me, and it was also very instructional. What I started to get a view of, I mean, we're talk show hosts, we're film producers, we're book writers, we're many different things. But what we aren't is the generally, I don't want to call them dumb, but the generally uninformed public and the people that have been spoon-fed the governmental or the political tripe, things that pass for news right now are not news. And for those people, I got an insight, Mark, on how people must be feeling that really don't know what happened yesterday. They damn sure don't know what's going on today, and they're not expecting what comes tomorrow. Their wildest imaginings, they can't even conjure that up. So it gave me an insight as to what the mental state is of the general public, not only here in the U.S., but in the U.K. as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's quite interesting, this, because it really has kind of separated the wheat from the chaff, in my opinion, because the people who are sort of falling for this over here or the people who've got the 66-inch plasma screens on their walls. And it's quite amusing in some ways because I've actually walked down the street and people will actually walk around you because you've got a mask on. They will look at you and go, this is shocking. It's a bit like a new form of rebellion, you know, that, my God, he's not wearing a mask. And there's not that many people who react like that, but there's enough to make it kind of amusing. But I'm sort of oblivious to it, really. You know, I mean, it is very, very odd what's going on. And we've been covering it for ages on the shows, and especially on RBN, trying to bring different angles to it, looking into where it's coming from, what it's really about. And I think the problem the public have is that they can't realize that governance can be unstructured, and it can be governance that they don't see every day. They have a real problem with things that are conceptual or more complicated than they've been led to believe. And I think that is really what this COVID thing is kind of exposing. And I think there is going to be big problems ahead. Like you were saying earlier on, I'm just living in the moment with it all. But I think that, yeah, we are heading for the strangest times in history. I can't think of anything else like this that's ever happened. We're in a kind of post-truth, post-reality world, which I think is why this whole thing is so, it's absurd on one level and kind of terrifying on another level.
Well, and again, going back to the general well-being, we've got people committing suicide. We've got, there's, here in the U.S., there's roughly 30 million homes that are in foreclosure right now. And these people have absolutely no way to make their mortgage, maintain a family, a household. They're gone. They're done. When this thing settles down, I don't know what they're doing over there in England, but they're trying to pass another money tranche, I guess you could call it. I call it the socialist, or my friend connected with me today and said, no, that's a communist plot. They're just throwing money everywhere, trying to put Band-Aids on this Hegelian dialectic that they themselves created, this plandemic. I don't think there's any doubt in this, my mind or the listener's mind, that this was planned out. It could have been COVID-19. It could have been Corolla. It could have been anything else that they cooked up. It wouldn't have mattered. This was planned out. And I look at this as being one gigantic psychological operation on the people themselves to see how many people will just obey without doing any real research, without putting up even a fuss. Over here in the U.S., the big chains like Walmart and there's drugstores called CVS, and there's other big chains. People were putting up such a stink. I actually ran a video on the website one day where a guy with his elderly father in a wheelchair was in a Walmart, and a man, quite a big man, bigger than this guy, with about a 4 or 5 year old in tow, holding on to the hand of this kid, going after and berating the guy that wasn't wearing a mask. Well, evidently some words were exchanged, and the guy with the child in tow wasn't backing down. The guy without the mask flipped them the proverbial bird, the middle finger, and that's when it escalated. The guy pulled out a revolver, looked like a .38 special, and the guy backed off, obviously, and the guy did his thing and then walked out of the store and left. But what's happening here, the employees, as scarce as jobs are, a lot of the employees were quitting because they didn't want the pressure of an angry person in their face. Now, here's what the company was telling them beforehand, that you will follow these policies. And the governors chimed in and they made it mandatory, and some did executive orders, but, you know, this was the policy and you can't violate it. They did this all the way down to township and small city level. They passed ordinances. They tried to huff and bluff and blow your house down. And many people were not going along with it, but it got to such a point where these stores backed off and said, they actually are posting people at the entrance of these stores telling them that it's recommended that you wear a mask, but if you don't have one and you don't want to wear one, they're not going to stop you. They're going to allow you in the store, do your shopping, check out, and go home.
But same as here, John.
Is
absolutely
it?
Same as here. Now, I think this is quite an interesting point, which I have brought up on the shows, in that when they say mandatory, that's rather misleading in the UK anyway, because they can't be mandatory, because if you do not want to wear one or cannot wear one, then you don't have to. So therefore, they're not mandatory. What's interesting in the UK is that all the supermarkets I've been into, I went into quite a few to check this out, nobody said a word to me. I haven't worn a mask since it started. I had an exemption on my phone, which I downloaded just in case, but nobody will ask you to wear a mask. And the reason for that is the stores are not going to issue you with a mask, because if something happens to you, they are then liable to be sued.
Liability.
Yes.
And you can bet your bottom dollar, Mark, that these employees were complaining, the angry citizen that was in there just trying to do a little shopping and go home, I think they started to look at the liability problem with this. Suppose that video that I showed, that I described, the guy would have felt threatened enough by this monster guy. I mean, he was 6'4", 6'5", whatever. Maybe the guy with the gun felt that he was threatened for his own physical safety, and maybe he shot the guy. Now, there's laws against that, but, you know, don't try explaining that to the police or anybody else. This is unprecedented in the history of mankind. And I was just wondering how they were dealing with it in UK. I've always looked at you people as being conservative and staid, and tea time is at 4 and whatever else. Mark, we have a problem sometimes analyzing ourselves and the environment that we're in. What has happened in your estimation? Because we've seen the degradation of culture in this country, in the U.S. We've seen patriotism where it's not quite patriotic. It's a mixed brand of neocon. And, you know, I support anything with a badge on, or I support anything with a gun in its hand in any war that you want to create to go blow somebody up for whatever reason. That's how they frame patriotism in this country. Well, you do support them, don't you? Well, no, I really don't. But that's not going to stop you from invading countries and blowing people up. England had its little go-around in the Middle East. We've had our go-around in the Middle East. Well, we're still kind of there. But what has happened to the English over there? What has happened to the English people? They don't have any weapons anymore. They've got national health care. What else can they do to you guys?
Well, that's quite interesting, John, because we've seen a similar thing that you're seeing. We have one narrative. Anything outside of it is demonized. And we are turning into what some people would call a communist country.
Hold that communist country thought in your mind. Let's go to break here. Mark Windows is my guest, folks. Before he gets out of here, we'll remind you of the programming change.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
See, I like the American version of that Beatles song.
Yeah, I pretty like that one myself, actually. Yeah, I wasn't a great fan of the Beatles, John. I wasn't really a great fan of the Beatles.
No?
No, I think there was some really interesting bands at that time in Liverpool, too. You know, I mean, quite a fascinating era, that. And I do sometimes go back to Liverpool, to Matthew Street, where all that started, where the Cavern Club was. There used to be this club there in the 80s called Eric's. I used to go there. And it was all very exotic to me. I was very young, far too young to get in. But I used to hang around with this band. I used to play there. And I've always loved that street. It's got a real kind of great feel about it. Matthew Street in Liverpool, where the Cavern Club used to be. There used to go to this club called Eric's in the 80s, which actually they've reopened now, but it's not quite the same. All gone a bit corporate.
Yeah, well, they've tried doing chains. Mike, what's the name of the chain that was across the United States, Rock Cafe or something?
Hard Rock Cafe,
yeah.
Yeah, we've still got a few of those. I used to go to the one in London, in Covent Garden. There's one at Hyde Park. There's quite a few of those. Yeah, they are a bit corporate, but there's some very good nights in there, yeah.
So back to the question, what the hell happened to your people over there?
Ideological subversion. I think we have been actually targeted. If you look at where British intelligence actually came from, well, it came from here, didn't it? And it's gone all around the world. and it works hand in hand with the third party interest. And in Britain, if you are outside the accepted narrative, the BBC narrative is absolutely communitarian. Some people would say communist. Communitarianism is something that takes a bit more to grasp. But if you look at the system, it's the same cookie cutter template that's happening in America. I've been in touch with people in California for years telling me how Agenda 21 was taken up there. All the same thing, facilitators, co-facilitators, useful idiots and change agents. And still, in the UK, when you say these things, some people say, but we have local councillors, we have MPs. Well, they're beginning to realise now that everything's been taken over at a local level. And if you look at Boris Johnson and the other two Muppets who were there giving those briefings, they are hostages. They are not in charge of anything. And it's become clearer and clearer and clearer in the UK that these people are hostages to governance.
Well,
and I think even the most sort of, uninformed person would start to see that. And that's starting to cause a lot of confusion as to what's going on in the UK. But yes, we have been subverted.
Well, imagine how easy it would have been here in the United States if we had the Affordable Care Act in force and then they start putting out their mandates and dictates. Here in the U.S., Mark, they have said that, well, we're going to come up with this program called tracking and tracing, and we're going to build that out, you know, because of the pandemic and everything else. And then you didn't hear too much about it anymore. Well, all the while, it was quietly moving on. And now, I believe it was Arkansas, I posted it up yesterday, the Arkansas National Guard is tracking and tracing, and if you don't want to be tested, you're now being carted off.
Wow, I didn't know that, John. That's sort of news to me, because in the UK, it appears to have fallen apart. The NHS, National Health Service, had this tracking and tracing app, which in my view was doomed to fail, because the NHS is doomed to fail. We're talking about a new global health system, you know, data gathering, monitoring and surveillance, and basically it's all about data now. And that's what they're bringing in. I've talked about this on the RBN shows over the last few months, and the COVID-19 is merely a driver of the new governance system. It's taken over from climate change for a short while, but I'm sure that's going to be back soon.
Well, you know it. I was watching our House hearings yesterday, and our Attorney General was brought up before a committee to be grilled on and to answer questions, and it was nothing but the left, which has gone full-blown communist here in this country. And a character by the name of Nadler was the chairperson, and they ran a video. A guy from Ohio, Jordan is his congressman's name, he ran a video for all to see, including the chair, and it was all the media telling people, oh, these are peaceful protests, peaceful protests. In the meantime, in Portland, Oregon, and other places in the country, we have looting and burning, Antifa factions within the Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, which is only comprised, by the way, of 1/6 black, and the rest are of different races. So what they're saying is all lives matter, but if you say that, you might get shot. And people have been shot and killed for saying all lives matter. Now they're starting to find out that the founders of Black Lives Matter are, with not a joke, not adherents to, but students of the Marxist philosophy.
Yeah, they're three lesbian change agents, and weirdly, and quite ironically, that Black Lives Matter appears to be an LGBTQ group, and their stated aims are to destroy the nuclear family. And yes, they are Marxists by their own admission, and they won Change Agents of the Year award, these three women. So it's all completely fake, but they're just drivers. They need different fracture points. They need to keep creating these dynamics, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we had it here in the UK, but because of the education system here, people have been mentored into absolute stupidity. They have no critical thinking at all, John.
Well, we don't call that school anymore. We call that indoctrination centers that's mandated by the federal government. And by the way, that's a plank of the Communist Manifesto. Free education for the indoctrination of your children.
We'll be right back. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Ooh, that's way hot in my...
Come to me, always on the run.
Phew, it's blowing me out. All right. Sweet. We have a soundboard that has just gotten a mind of its own. I guess you can call that artificial intelligence. Talking today with Mark Windows, Windows on the World. Mark, I don't know where the hell this is all going, but I can tell you one thing. When I started hearing, right at the outset of this coronavirus pandemic, that there's going to be a new normal. It sounded to me as if they had already planned how things are going to be worked out and what was going to be left at the end of this. And as I was saying earlier, now here's the timeline. And it affected the UK, England, France, Europe, United States. When we had this little banking snafu, when we had the investment bankers just going out there speculating in real estate, and they just got a little bit sloppy and a little bit of oversight would have been necessary because they were selling the same property and repackaging and selling it sometimes 15, 20 times over. Now, I had this confirmed by a Chase manager that was down from New York City in September of 09. And he confirmed the information that I had. That, their little banking exercise got everybody in debt to the tune of anywhere between $1 and $1.4 quadrillion. Now, people don't get, if these are numbers even a dog can hear, let me explain how much a quadrillion is. That's $1,000 trillion. $1 trillion is a lot of money, but times that by 1,000 and we still might be short on it. That happened in 08. You felt the effects and you're still feeling the effects of that to this day. In this country, we had over 90 million people out of work because of that banking crisis. Now, keeping in mind all this while, Mark, nobody was called on the carpet, nobody was charged, nobody went into a court, nobody was found guilty, and certainly nobody went to jail. Fast forward to 2020, when the COVID virus plandemic got fired up, and now they're claiming, well, 40 million people lost their jobs over the COVID-19. Well, that was on an economy and a country that we never recovered. We still had between 70 and 80 million people out of work because of the banking crisis of 2008. I'm going to venture a guess here because nobody has really thrown together credible numbers. We're estimating here just by what we've been able to gather through the years. But we still have possibly 60 to 70 to 80 million people still out of work in this country.
Quite incredible, John. I mean, what we're seeing in the UK is this kind of furlough, which I think runs out in October. So most people over the summer were acting like they were on a kind of holiday. And when they were let out, everyone was flocking to the seaside. But it's coming to an end. And yes, very difficult to actually see what is going to happen. Because as I said earlier, I think the most worrying aspect of this is how the public are going to react in the UK, you know, definitely.
Well, they have been in a walking zombie state for a long time. They, you know, when sometimes you try to talk to people on stuff that years ago they would call us conspiracy theorists, which, by the way, that was a CIA creation, the very term conspiracy theory. Now, even the police in this country are starting to get the idea that these wacko tinfoil hat wearing whack jobs, these theorists out there were right. Here in this country today, we have the police now joining the unorganized militias because they're finally starting to realize that they're caught between a rock and a hard place. The Democrat National Committee is going to have their big thing up in Milwaukee. Well, guess what the police did? They've already informed them that, look, we're not going to be security for the Democratic National Convention. Over 200 police agencies have notified them, don't call us. We're not going to be there. And there's this la-la land going on. The Democrats and these communists, I can think of no other term, the news media that's controlled by five corporations. And by the way, there's hearings on Capitol Hill today in Washington, D.C., Mark. Bezos from Amazon, Zuckerberg from Facebook. Zuckerberg is testifying that, no, we don't shadow ban people or we don't outright cut them. One guy, just one guy that was on Facebook with 3,270,000 friends, he got to platform because he liked Trump, and over 3 million people along with him liked it as well. Zuckerberg took it right off the site. And
it's quite incredible what's happening, John, because I don't think we're going to be on YouTube for very much longer. And I would encourage people to go to the website and subscribe on other things because
it couldn't be that Google bought them out now, could it?
Well, the whole thing is that you're right about the way things are turning. But in the UK, you see, we're not armed. And you made this point earlier. When I saw the pictures and the reports of the armed militia, I thought that was quite encouraging, because these people are upholding the law. That's all they're doing. That's all they appeared to be doing. They were just keeping a presence outside the stores to let these people, these useful idiots, know that they were going to defend property.
Right.
Well, what's wrong with that? And then, of course, you get demonized as being right-wing. I mean, in this country, it's no different, John, because the intelligence services demonize anyone, including myself, who's outside the official narrative as right-wing. In fact, hope not hate, this arm of the British intelligence services. Well, we have to use the intelligence word very sparingly. It's not intelligence as we understand it. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because you've got this organization, and they put out a video, and they basically said that if you followed people like me and Mark Windows especially, he's got this eccentric YouTube channel, and basically, if you start questioning the moon landings, the next thing is you're going to be a far-right conspiracy theorist. How that works, I don't know, but it works in the minds of British so-called intelligence, and they have this narrow kind of way of putting this across that is absolutely ineffectual. And we had the 7-7 Brigade over here, which is basically this internet troll group of British soldiers. And these people just must be learning what's going on. It's absolutely ridiculous. And we cover this a lot in the shows because I think this is key. This kind of simplistic way of trying to demonize everything outside the controlled corridor of accepted opinion is not good enough, and I don't think it's really powerful anymore. The power of that is definitely going. And I know people in the so-called conspiracy world say that their power is fading. Well, what I mean by that is that I think the media is more up for grabs now, because lots of people, including people who are very staid in my own family, including my mother, I mean, she talks to me now and again, and I'm beginning to think you're right. But she actually came out with a communitarian statement. She said, but we all have to do our bit. We're all in it together. And that kind of ruined it for me, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
she's a communitarian now, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. But the good news is that people are waking up, but they're going to be real shell-shocked, because the economies of this country and many other economies around the world are going to be in for a rude awakening. All of this interference with commerce, all this COVID-19 scare crap, apparently, looking at the rest of the world, the rest of the world is getting over this. But here in the U.S., it's now being used as a political tool from the left. And, you know, people like Donald Trump, well, they can't get in the White House in November again. We can't have that. It's an all-out play to unseat Donald Trump. Well, people are starting to figure out, and then watching the news, and even if they give a cursory glance to another news organization that is not sold their soul to the devil, let's say, they're starting to get the idea, wait a minute here, something isn't right. I mean, Nadler yesterday, that chaired up a committee, and they had the attorney general in there, he played a video. And the attorney general sitting there intently watching this thing, the guy that chaired the meeting was a Democrat, and he barely looked up at the screen and then went right into a rendition of, these are peaceful protests, totally ignoring. And there was video outside of that after the committee was over with, flat out denying. He's saying that that's all a myth. There's no violence out in Portland.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, but we get that from the British media as well. And it's absolutely absurd. But, yeah, to say that, though, is incredible, because you can lie subtly. Politicians lie subtly by omission. But when you make a statement like that, then it's got to backfire, surely.
Well, in this country, the art of politics has been for a number of years how to sidestep the Constitution. We now have every mother and her uncle in this country calling this country a democracy. Hey, look, when we split off from you guys back in the 1700s, the question was, well, Mr. Washington, what form of government are you going to give us? You're going to give us a democracy? Are you going to become king? Are we going to be sovereigns under you? You know, what's the deal? And they emphatically, and they made careful note No, we do not want to be a democracy. But this is what's being sold and repeated. I guess the old mantra is right. Repeat the lie often enough and people are going to believe it. We have never been a democracy since our founding, and we're not a democracy today. What they're trying to convince people is there's no hard and fast rules, and as long as we have the assent of 51% of the population, well, then we can go in that direction.
Yeah, well, when we use the word democracy, we can get into that in some depth because it's not what people think it is, and people have no idea of how they're actually governed. I mean, I think it's quite interesting, this rise of so-called populism, and this is why it's so demonized by the intelligence services, especially in the UK. So when you get anything that's sort of populist or comes from the people, it's always far right. But you can't keep doing that because there is no real far right in the UK. I mean, I thought it was absolutely absurd in the UK Guardian, which is a bastion of kind of left-wing fantasy and disinformation and lies. I don't really like using left and right anymore, John, because I don't think they adequately describe what's going on. But they actually stated that the militias in America, you know, they were quite upstanding people, and they didn't really say anything bad about them. But the way they tried to demonize them was to say that many of them wore Hawaiian beach shirts. And as we all know, Hawaiian beach shirts have been associated with a far-right group. I mean, you couldn't make this up. I mean, how absurd can you get, you know?
Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, it was in the UK Guardian. I brought it up on yesterday's show, John. I could not believe what I was reading. When it gets that absurd, you know you're in a post-truth world.
Well, we had the FBI several years ago sending out memorandum, they call them memos of memorandum to law enforcement, to sheriffs, to chiefs of police, to security agencies. I don't care. As long as they represented some kind of we can shoot you if we want to police force, they got the memo. And the FBI was telling all these people that, especially you police out there making routine traffic stops, you know, you're going to be pulling people over that are sovereign citizens that don't even want to converse with you. They don't even want to look at you. And if you pull them over, they're just going to shoot you dead in the street. This is how hype the FBI, and how trustworthy is the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, when it was founded by a cross-dressing blackmailer?
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that they're not really in touch with their own kind of methods, because once you start over-egging the pudding, like they're doing in the UK especially, then it becomes absurd. But yes, your point early on was very good in that the youngsters, I mean, people under 40 really, have been very, very dumbed down, and they've been very clone-like. I mean, I found this when I started really finding out what's going on, because most people were unable to think outside party politics. And party politics doesn't mean a damn thing in the UK. We've got one agenda going on. The Labour Party was an embarrassment. The Conservative Party is just this kind of corporate kind of, I don't know what it is, because when you see Boris Johnson up there, you just see somebody who's trying to constantly get himself out of trouble.
Yeah, you know. It's called Donald Trump here in this country. Yeah,
I enjoy your press conferences much more, though, because with the Trump thing, there is a kind of air of spontaneity about it. I know he's held hostage, but the kind of some of the things he comes out with are at least quite witty. But here, you've got, well, you know, go stay in, but, you know, go out. And, you know, well, you know, I think you should, you know. It's just a blithering idiot, this guy. He doesn't even know anything that he's talking about anymore. He looks shell-shocked. Yeah. And it's clear to him now that he's not in charge of anything.
Well,
and he's probably just thinking, well, will I be looked after or will I be collateral damage? And will I ever be able to show my face in public after I've stepped down?
I got to tell you something. Boris Johnson had a lot of support in this country for the Brexit thing, and we wanted to see the globalist idea of trying to wrangle and keep the UK in the European Union. No, we were all rooting for Boris. I'll tell you what, Sammy in Washington, I didn't ask for any calls, but Sammy is here. So, Sammy, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday I heard...
I'm
from Scotland.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
I recognize that voice.
I came to this country in 1992. I'm from Scotland. Mark, I'm a former member of the Parachute Regiment in the British Army, so you'll be familiar with that.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday you made mention of armed militia responding to these BLM marches. I was actually involved in one of these myself here in OMAC in central Washington. Over a month ago, there was some trouble in Spokane, and some armed patriots showed up in Coeur d'Alene, and they prevented it there. So we decided to do the same thing. And so there was about 40 of us. We showed up. We were positioned throughout the town. I was with a Native American guy, former U.S. Marine, and we were outside the police station and the fire station. And the march went ahead with no trouble whatsoever. They were all well-behaved. They all took a knee in front of the fire department, police station, and the main spokesman for them, the black fella, African-American guy, to be politically correct, after he'd said his little speech, the organizer of the Armed Patriots went up to him. They exchanged a few words. They shook hands. They hugged. And the march kind of split up. They all went back to the park. And this black fella who... the main spokesman for them, he came up to us and he thanked us. He said, thanks very much, guys. I really appreciate you. I bought a whole bunch of ice cream. If there's some left over, I'll bring it to you. So when they all went back to the park, they came over and they started handing out the surplus ice cream. There was no trouble whatsoever. And that was it.
Well, you...
Consequently, about 2 weeks later, I stumbled upon an article by a guy called Isaac Stanley Becker, who writes for the Washington Post. And the main crux of his article was these armed militia right-wing people showing up at BLM marches and intimidating the marchers. And he's witnessed to, and he mentioned the OMAC march, and his witness was a young lady by the name of Espinoza. There was no mention whatsoever in his article of the two leaders of the two groups exchanging words, hugging and shaking hands, none whatsoever. So I called up Isaac Stanley Becker and left him a message, and amazingly enough, he called me back. And we had a brief conversation, and he was quite stunned by the fact that I was reporting something contrary to what he was told. And he said, well, the marchers felt like they didn't really get to do what they wanted to do. And I said, well, hold on a minute. They got to do exactly what they wanted to do. They exercised their First Amendment rights, and we exercised ours and our Second Amendment rights, and it all went very peacefully.
Hmm.
And he had absolutely nothing to say. He was speechless. Yeah. And then I sent him some photographs of the hug and the exchange between the two guys, and I never heard anything back from him. So you don't hear anything about that in the mainstream media.
Well,
Sammy,
you're not going to hear anything because it doesn't follow the narrative. It's the same thing on Facebook.
It doesn't follow the narrative at all.
Yeah. No. I agree with you. That's why on Twitter and on Facebook, they're deplatforming and shadow banning and throwing people off. I mean, you heard me earlier say that one person had 3,270,000 friends that they were all Trump supporters. I've got Mark Zuckerberg sitting in Washington, D.C. right now testifying in front of Congress that no, they don't do that. And here it is, I'm looking at it in front of my very eyes, and he is under oath in Washington, D.C., lying his ass off.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's so surreal. It's incredible. Sammy, I got to let you go, my friend.
Yeah, thanks.
I appreciate it very much. So I take it you know this?
Yeah, it's interesting that, Sammy. Very good.
Yeah, I take it you know Sammy?
Yes, he calls in. I think he's the same Sammy. I think he's got to be.
Wait a minute. And, what wasn't the Scots and Britain, weren't they at odds with each other?
Well, there's still this kind of rivalry between the Scots, the Welsh, and the English. But I think that COVID is kind of a great leveler, because in Scotland, I don't think they're even letting people out. And the Welsh have only just opened their borders up because they don't like letting anybody in. So it's kind of interesting what's happened. But,
that sounds like a country-sized We have people here in the United States that don't use electricity, no modern conveniences, no cars, no nothing. And you know what? Nobody died in their group of coronavirus. So maybe we're being infiltrated and infected by the virus by electronic means. I've got my usual Monday guy, Steve Elkins. Hello, Steve.
Hi there, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing pretty good today.
Well, yeah. where the hell were you? I was waiting for you, and you didn't show.
I did show. I'm here now.
No, you're here now, but you said you were going to call
in. 10 minutes early.
But it's, yeah. We got 4 minutes. You must have went to the school. Do you skip math? No, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to do the introduction. I wanted to say hi to Mark. I enjoy his show, and that's kind of. I just wanted to kind of jump in there and say what a great job he does for RBN. Appreciate him.
Well, he's going to be doing.
That's a much appreciated comment. Thank you very much.
He's going to be doing less of it. He's only going to be doing it two days a week on the network, and that's going.
I'll probably come back, John. I mean, the thing is that I've got a lot on at the moment.
Yeah, no, I know you do. And when you told me how old you were, I'm like, how many hours do you have in a day? How can you get all this done? Well, it's, you know, I had my own little reality check, run a network, run a household, mow the grass, do the dishes, do the laundry, do the scheduling, do this, do that, pay bills. I'm tired just saying all of that.
Yeah, it's a big thing to do, John, and I admire what you're doing. You know, I mean, I still want to be a part of it, and I want to be a big part of it, but I can still kind of make a very good impact with two shows a week. And yes, in the future, I definitely want to come back and do more. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. You've got a great audience and an informed audience, just like it says on the tin. I really like the station.
Have you ever talked to PJ Barton over there?
I met him.
You did?
He came to a talk we did in Hereford. And we went to this very strange pub afterwards, and we had a very long conversation, and it was fascinating. It was just before Christmas, I think, last year.
Hmm.
And he talked about RBN, and I did listen to some of the shows.
PJ is, he's an interesting fellow, but on air, you're a lot clearer. Your diction and pronouncement of words is a lot clearer. He's got a lot to say, and sometimes he'll have a thought in his head, and he'll let that thought trail on, and then he's on to another thought. He'll let that drop, and boom, I love PJ. He argued with me for a number of years to have a Saturday night spot for 3 hours, and I finally yielded. So there's one thing I can say about people over in the across the pond at the old, you guys are insistent, and when you want something done, you get it done.
Well, that's great. Yeah, we met PJ last year. We had a great night in this pub, and it was reminiscent of a TV series in the 80s, the pub. It was like a place called the Crossroads Motel. It looked like a set for something that was completely out of date. Very memorable night, though.
Well, Mark, my time is up this hour. I appreciate it. It's midnight over there. Don't turn into a pumpkin or anything. To use one of your expressions, I'm absolutely over the moon that you're still on this network.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks for all the support and the great callers. And I'll see you all tomorrow.
All righty. And tomorrow and Friday, regular schedule, Monday through Friday. But starting next Monday, 2 to 3 Central Time, folks, Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can still avail yourself of the talented Mark Windows. Thanks again, Mark.
Thanks, John. That was great.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Top of the hour break, folks. We'll be back in three. Oh, and Steve Elkins is here. We'll be back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website
at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.